My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I hope that you are shining and thriving wherever you are, and that you are doing well and feeling taken care of and feeling loved. And if you're not feeling that way, I hope that you're able to step aside and spend some time with yourself to figure out what is it that I need, what is it that I'm yearning for, what is it that I'm craving, and give it to yourself. And if you're with partners, friends, family that are healthy and loving and want to love you, that you advocate for yourself, that you ask, that you learn how to communicate those needs to others and let them in and let them love you too. So with that said, today's episode, we are talking about what to do when you like someone as a love avoidant. This is my two-part series where I'm talking to those of us who may be entering new romantic partnerships with partners as previously identified love addicts and love avoidants. I am talking primarily to people who have been doing the recovery work for this, who have actively been working on challenging your love addiction patterns specifically, or your love avoidant patterns specifically, and doing the root trauma work that causes it. And now you're at a place where you are stable and you're entering into this newer arena of doing relationships differently. These are your first go rounds, and you are wanting to know, how do I get closer to this partner without over attaching, or in the case of love avoidance, running away? So last week I did when you like someone as a love addict, like I already said, and today is the love avoidant. I want to say something that I've said before in the podcast, but it's always a question when I talk about the different archetypes of intimacy disorders. So love addiction, love avoidance, and love deprivation, aka love anorexia, are three types of intimacy disorders, which are basically how we will push people away and hide and stop people from getting to know us. Love addiction is also a way that we hide, because we hide under the guise of being overly attached to unavailable people who are more concerned with themselves. And then the other two are pretty self-explanatory with how we hide. And it's all because of difficulty knowing ourselves, attaching to ourselves, appreciating ourselves because of childhood trauma that has stopped us from seeing the glory that we are, for seeing how wonderful we are. And so we carry those coping mechanisms that have served us as children to stay safe, to stay sane, to stay productive. And we carry that into adult relationships. And we get to places where we're like, hold up, this ain't working anymore. If anything, it's getting worse. But whenever I talk about the archetypes, people always ask, can I be more than one? Can I be multiple ones? Or can I be the same multiple ones with the same person? Or can I flip back and forth between relationships? And the answer is yes, because basically these are just subconscious strategies, so to speak, that your brain, that your spirit, that your body engages in to stop you from potentially being hurt, abandoned, rejected. And so it switches. So when you are around someone who is securely attached, and you are, say you typically are love avoidant, and so you're always with people who are unavailable, when you're around someone who's securely attached and showing up for you and consistent and present, now you become a little bit more love avoidant. Now you're busy all the time. Now you're picking them apart because it's not as good as it used to be. You're creating reasons to create distance, and you're feeling very overwhelmed with growing intimacy if they keep passing your tests. So you switch to that. And then in that same vein, while you're like, man, this is way too much, I need space, you can get in the next relationship and be all up under somebody and can't get enough of them. And you're always checking your phone, checking your texts, trying to see where they're coming from, trying to see what they're thinking, and all the stuff that you would never, ever think to do in a million years with the person who's securely attached. So yes, absolutely, you can and you do change between until you do the root work. So that's all to say, I hope that you listen to both. I hope that if you are new to this podcast, especially, but even to my OGs, if there is a title that you think that doesn't really apply to me, I mean, I do it too sometimes, especially with podcasts that I've been following for a long time and I love them. Sometimes I can get under the guise of, well, kind of, I think I know what they're going to say. But y'all, there's always a nugget for everybody. And I think a lot of times we miss information that we need because we think that's for somebody else and it's not for us. And so we don't take it in. But there's something for everyone. And especially with this, always listen to all the different archetype episodes because there may be something that you can connect to. So let's get into this.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. In a world where you do not know what you're getting, finding someone you can be authentic with and who leads in being their real self is so important. And when you're dating, it's even more important that you meet people who aren't into wearing a mask and are just as serious about meeting their person through genuineness and clarity. And that's why I love eHarmony's detailed compatibility quiz to help you see upfront if they are a great fit for your values, your lifestyle, and your commitment level versus having to wait months in to figure all of that out. eHarmony is all about helping you find someone you can be yourself with. We all want to be seen, heard, and understood. And that's why so many more people are turning to eHarmony. I'd love for you to give eHarmony a shot. Get started with their compatibility quiz for free so you can find someone you can be yourself with. eHarmony, get who gets you.
Okay, when you like someone as a love avoidance, whenever I tell people who are in recovery, especially from love addiction, but whenever I'm talking about recovery from all of these, they are all painful because for you to do the work, you're going to have to engage with underlying trauma and unlearn those things and start to believe that maybe the things people said to you weren't true. Maybe things weren't your fault. Maybe the things that you need that you're not needing too much. Maybe you're perfectly normal and beautiful and perfect exactly as you are. And those can be very, very difficult, foreign, nonsensical things to believe, even though in your heart you want to believe that is true and other people tell you it's true. There's just so many weeds and things that crowd it out. So you do that work. And I think a lot of times people think because of the intensity around love addictive behaviors and just the obsession, the rumination, the deep crying spells, the deep pain, even stalking, even suicidal thoughts, panic attacks. I mean, all the things that can happen and do happen when you're in an addictive relationship and you're starting to pull away the intense guilt and shame and you're a bad person that comes up. People will believe that once you heal from love addiction, then it's going to be easy because you have so much love to give. And now you're going to be open and available to be with healthy partners. And I always say that if anything, once you stop those patterns, that's when myth love avoidance comes into play. So we're constantly in a stage of healing and growth. Because love addiction is like layer one to protect you. And then love avoidance comes in to protect you from being seen. So love avoidance is what we use to keep people away because we are deeply afraid of either being hurt, of being judged, of being misunderstood, of them seeing any of the cracks and flaws that we have learned very well to hide or to overcompensate for or to fix. And if someone gets close enough to see all the things that I haven't been able to fix yet or perfect or, you know, solve whatever, then that is deeply scary. That is deeply scary because we learn to be safe by having this projected image. We learn to be safe by always being in control and by being able to write our own narrative. And so real intimate relationships, they see flaws and all. They comment on it. They are there to see when you haven't been able to, you know, fix your makeup after you've been crying. And now they are seeing you super exposed. And that type of intimacy, that type of care is devastatingly dangerous and scary for many of us. And so I said all that stuff about love addiction to say, I just want to prep you for if you have been healing from this process and now you're with an amazing person that you really want to get to know and you find yourself pulling back and you find yourself having doubt and you find yourself trying to make yourself be busy and you find yourself doing all this stuff. First of all, I want you to practice some self-kindness and grace and congratulate yourself for seeing that this is your defense mechanism. I think a lot of times love avoidance gets swept under the rug and we don't realize it because we think, you know, just people got to keep up with us. If they can't fit into my lifestyle and my flow, then it's a them thing. It's not a me thing. I'll find somebody who can. I don't need them is our magic refrain. But for you, being able to practice self-accountability and knowing that relationships take mutuality and take work, and also knowing your susceptibility to rejection and pain, it is no easy feat to be honest with yourself about those things. So I really do want you to validate that and see that part of yourself. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I want you to know that all of these things that have been learned can also be unlearned. Every single one of us came into this world with an open heart, with just the desire to play, to be loved, to connect, with eyes of wonder, with eyes of hope. And we learned these things. And so because they were strategies and coping mechanisms that were put upon us, we can learn the same thing in the opposite direction as well. We just have to be patient and kind and giving to ourselves things that often we weren't given before. So with that said, let's talk about three things that I want you to keep in mind when you are with someone that you really like and you're getting to know as a love avoidance. Same disclaimer as last week's episode. Some of you are already in long-term partnership relationships and you've been with them for a big while. You still may be able to get some things from here, especially because with just the nature of relationships that ebb and flows, where some days I really love you and some days I need you to get away from me and just falling into patterns, knowing these ways to move closer to them just puts it on your radar in case it is something that is a good takeaway for you today. So the first thing is, as a love avoidant, you need to practice and hone the skill of telling them about your day and letting them into what's going on in your mind and your heart and your inner working. Now, this is different because typically with my ladies who are love addicted, I will talk about strategies and rules to kind of pull back a little bit more and to not be on text all day and to not be calling them all day and to have a lot of limits. But with my love avoided ladies, y'all need to learn how to push forward. You need to learn how to be more available to these conversations, to moments that are not controlled, to spontaneity, to not having rehearsed communication, to just allow all that stuff down and just be yourself. Something so important that I miss in my intros too is that these are things that I'm going to tell you to do or suggest for you to do with people who are healthy and available. If you are doing this as a love avoidant with someone who is either narcissistic or someone who is very love addicted towards you, you are actually going to be enabling, without intending to, you're going to be enabling this insatiable need that that person has on the other end to have more of you. There's never going to be enough sharing, giving, communication that's going to satisfy a narcissist or someone who's love addicted to you, because they're trying to use this connection to you to feel something within that you're never going to be able to feel. And so what that means for you as someone who's trying to communicate and be open and share your day because Sheena told you to, you're going to start to feel drained and depleted because it's going to be very soul sucking to you. And I think that's what happens with a lot of love avoidance, when we don't quite do our work fully and we don't pay attention to red flags and we're not clear on the patterns of the people that we attach to. We try to do these really healthy things with unhealthy people, and all of our fears and all of our traumas get reinforced because they do exactly the things that we don't want them to do. And then we say, well, see, that's why I don't let people in. That's why I don't talk about things. That's why, because they just want so much. I feel so overwhelmed. I feel so smothered. I feel so claustrophobic. And yeah, because you're sharing your life with people who low-key don't have their own life. And this is with love, y'all. Remember, I'm a love addict. I am a recovering love addict. And y'all know. Better to say, I'll talk specifically about love addicts. And love addicts, we can have a really great life. But what happens with us is when we get with someone that we really like and enjoy, we just want more of them. And so our life slowly disappears. We slowly stop hanging out with our friends. We slowly stop doing hobbies because hanging out with you becomes our hobby. You become our best friend. And it's not intentional. It's not because we are trying to deify you. It's just what happens as part of that attachment, as part of that learned coping mechanism that is subconscious. And with narcissists, it is their own severe trauma that shows up in them seeing people as property for domination, for control, and all the stuff that goes along with it. So really, there's not going to be enough that you can give them because they're always going to want more and move the goalposts. So going back to what this looks like for you in sharing your day as a love avoidant, it means just initiating not only hellos, it might mean taking pictures of what you're doing throughout the day. It might mean sharing a thought that you have instead of waiting for them to share a thought first. If you're thinking about them, maybe let them know. Is what I'm saying is that don't play a game of chicken. I'm only going to say something nice. If they say something nice, and even when they do say something nice, I'm going to play it cool and reserved and just be real chill about it. Let them know that you like them back. It feels good. It feels good for you. It feels good for them. I think even, you know, about half a year ago, I made a couple of indirect references to masculine and feminine energy because it was something that it was a concept that I was using that was healing a lot of things within me. And I know because of all the things that I listen to, for those who are very attuned to the structure of what a lot of feminine energy teachers teach, which is you need to be more reserved and play it cool. But there's one concept in there, or one nuance to that, which really aligns with what I'm saying, is it basically tells you to be a person of pleasure and joy and happiness, to be someone who, not even just romantic partners, but coworkers, friends, family members, that when they are around you, they feel ease, flow, vibrance, life, because it is what you give yourself. And if you're that type of person who is super open, who is super available, that means those type of people don't filter themselves or they don't censor themselves when they really like someone, when something brings them joy. They don't say, okay, well, I'm only going to smile 40%. They smile with their whole chest, with their whole mouth. They say thank you and they receive it and they sparkle a little bit because it just feels so good. And so as a love avoidant, it's going to be you allowing yourself to unlearn some of those games of, you know, the ball and who's in charge and all that, and just fully be yourself. Because here's the thing, someone who likes you is going to be available for you. If they don't like you, they're going to make excuses. They're going to be flaky. You're going to be confused. People who are available and intentional about you, they are going to pursue you. And so it's safe for you to move forward. The people who are doing all the other confusing stuff I just said, if you've been doing your self-work, if you have been unlearning these patterns, if you've been seeing, okay, this is where I went go wrong sometimes, and this is why I do that, and this is what I need to learn instead to do, when those red flags happen, you're going to catch that, and you're going to be out of there. I see that with my students all the time. They see this stuff from the beginning now, and it makes dating, how do I want to say this? I want to say it makes dating different. That's the word I'm going to use, because when you are ignorant to all these red flags and these things, you'll date someone like your dating card is always full. You're always doing things and you're always hanging out with people and all of that stuff. But once you become aware and the blinders are open, it's not that you become more discriminate. It's just you can't go back. Like you can't fake it just to have a good time. It gets old. And even if you try to entertain it, it's like, man, you wilding right now. Or a girl, this is way too much. And you will pull back. And so only do this with people who are healthy and available, and be free to do it. And also trust yourself to know that you don't have to, once you get to this place of self-balance and self-trust, you don't have to, as a love avoidant, put people through a million tests to see if they're healthy, because you're already operating in the world as an available person. And so you just trust that anyone who comes across me who is not operating the standards that I desire for them to have access to me, then I can end that relationship. I'm not going to live my life in a box because I'm afraid of what someone may or may not do. This is how you take your power back as a love avoidant, because we're so, I mean, one of the core fears that we have as love avoidants is people trying to take our independence, take our freedom, try to make us do things we don't want to do. And so the way you take your freedom back is actually to be more available and more open and not live your life muted in a muted fashion because of the messed up things that people did in your past, but to be fully you. And like I said in the previous episode, the people who are attracted to you are attracted to the full version of you. So if you as a love avoidant, you know, y'all are flirting, y'all are, you know, kicking, y'all are really in your honeymoon period, and then you start to feel that things are getting a little bit too intimate and you start to pull back and you start to fall into those games and like, well, this might be too much, or I don't want to seem too clingy, or I don't want to seem too blah, 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 blah. Honey, those are exact things that y'all mutually liked about each other. So why would you stop doing those things? You know, it is safe to move forward until the signs show you that it's not. And then you can cut it off and learn from that lesson and use that for your discernment for the next partner or partners that you decide to be with.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
Ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy? Well, meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. I've had the amazing experience of trying Sunbasket for myself, and let me tell you, it was amazing. So at my core, I'm a meat and potatoes girl, so the steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes were hitting the spot. And they have such an incredible variety of new and flavorful dishes, like the salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and the Saigon chicken and vermicelli bowls. Y'all, they are so good. With Sunbasket, you can feel confident that you're putting a healthy and delicious meal on the table that is ready in 30 minutes or less. Sunbasket proudly works with the best farms and suppliers to fill their meal kits with organic, fresh produce, and responsibly sourced antibiotic-free meats and seafood. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy meals that cater to your lifestyle and health needs. So with delicious meal plans like Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto friendly, gluten free, diabetes friendly, and more, it is so easy to swap ingredients as needed as well. Ready to eat in less than 5 minutes with zero prep and no mess, it is perfect for even the busiest of us. So try it for 4 weeks and see how clean eating can change the way you feel. Go to sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries plus free shipping on your first order. With summer winding down and fall almost being here, it's time to think about getting our cozy self-care rituals on point. The Everything Shower is a core staple with Osea's new Undaria Algae Body Wash and is a must-have addition to your routine. The Undaria Algae Body Wash infuses your shower with the healing power of the sea with this all-natural, uplifting, citrusy scent. This pH balanced and hydrating formula doesn't strip the skin, leaving it feeling soft and renewed. I love how this body wash has such a smooth, gel-like texture. It lathers so easily and leaves me feeling fresh and yummy. And its natural plant-based ingredients help support the skin's moisture barrier and cleanse without stripping, which is perfect for this time of year. With Osea being clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Create your shower with clean, vegan face and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code BGH at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use code BGH for 10% off.
So telling them about their day, texting them, check-ins, calling, love avoidance, I think you need to do that a little bit more. And it's probably going to land you in an average area. You think it's going to land you in stalker area, but as a love avoidant, you probably don't do it at all. So just a little bit more is probably going to still land you in a very conservative place, but at least people aren't guessing and you're also getting the enjoyment that you need because you're talking to them because you like them. So why rob yourself of the opportunity to connect with someone that you really like? So this kind of aligns with the second one, which is initiate compliments and kindness and soft moments with them too. Pet names, thinking about you, I miss you. Whenever I have been in my full love avoided stance, I would only be responsive to those types of comments if they did it first. And even then I'll be like, thanks, appreciate it. Aw. And I know that there are some people who will teach that that's kind of a good thing, you know, to kind of leave them guessing. And I just wonder if there's some middle ground between leaving someone guessing, if that's part of your stilo, because I know everybody has different styles, if that's part of your style, and also saying what you want to say, flirting back, you know, leaning into that sexiness, not always waiting for someone else to give you something when you have so much to give as well. You know, accessing your voice and your power to be sensual, to be sexy, to be flirty, to, you know, I mean, that is another side. If since I already started talking about feminine energy, you know, the dark feminine and is what a lot of feminine energy teachers refer to that as, and just really operating in that and operating in that seduction and knowing that people like that, partners like that, you like that, they like that. And you can determine what ratio, what rules you want with that, but just that you do it and that it's okay for you to do it and it's safe for you to do it. And same thing, y'all, every initiation that you have with someone, especially when you're in this dating process, You're gathering information. If you are initiating being sexy, complimentary, doing little knick-knack treats and gifts or whatever your love language is, and they are unappreciative, they're unresponsive, they feel entitled to it even, they demand more, they criticize it. This is all information for you to take in and not say, oh, well, let me figure out how to deal with it. I'm with someone who doesn't really like this and they criticize it, so let me adjust myself. No, same thing I said previous episode. You are looking to see who is the right fit, whether it's the right fit of this person for this season, or if you are someone who wants to have a long-term commitment to someone, then you're evaluating people to see if they can be a lifetime partner. And if this type of way that you show love and try to initiate connection does not fit for them, it does not fit. And it would be unwise for you to try to morph yourself to be something that you're not, and or fight with them, you know, shame them, guilt them for not being the right fit for you. When I look at my son, when he was first learning how to do puzzles, and y'all know the little bucket that has the square shape and the circle shape and the triangle shape, it reminds me of before he learned to actually put the pieces where they needed to go, he would fight like hell to get that circle in the square and just be mad and want to like turn it over and kick it and do all this stuff. And like, honey, you're the one who's making it harder than me to. If you actually put it in the hole that it fits, it will go smoothly, easily, and it's a much enjoyable experience. And even sometimes after he learned how to do it, he would still try to force it in there. And that's that Taurus energy I get, that stubbornness. And I was like, same thing. Sometimes we know what to do and we still try to make things work. And, you know, this is where I'm going to end the metaphor because there could be a lot of reasons for it. It could just go back to us not looking at maybe unresolved or unexposed parts of our story and our trauma that maybe have normalized that relationships and love and connection come with drama, come with dysfunction. And it shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. I'm going to say forever and ever and ever that the honeymoon period, relationships take work and relationships take bumps and they're hard. But if your honeymoon period is like this, if the evaluation period is like this, then it is only going to be it's only setting the precedent and showing you in a microcosm what is going to be like later. But just multiply that by 5 times because life is going to live. And you need to have someone where y'all are on the same page with when it comes to communicating, connecting, building a friendship together where it can be mutual. So take this information in. Don't ignore it. And if you already got feelings for somebody, you've already caught feelings for someone, and these last couple of episodes are making you think, I get it. I understand. There have absolutely been times that someone has exposed things to me. Even when I was dating my narcissist after I was in 12-step recovery, which is another reason why I'm here teaching this to y'all so y'all don't do this. When I was dating the guy who was a narcissist, I saw full out what was happening. And I share that because I told one of my girlfriends at the time who was in the program with me, I was like, I know that he's like this. And I know what I need to do, but I just kind of have to ride this out so that I don't go back for it. And I know this might be a little bit of a controversial or dangerous thing to say, especially when it comes to narcissism, but I was only with this guy for like maybe a month and some change, maybe that long. And that includes the back and forths because I just couldn't do it and my eyes were fully open. So I'm only saying that for y'all, if you're listening to this, that I understand that sometimes you can have the knowledge and you just kind of have to live with that knowledge for a little bit before you're like, no, that I refuse. I wish it was different, but all this stuff I just can't stomach anymore now that my eyes are open. So take your time, be kind with yourself and choose you. Choose you because that's the most loving thing to do. And it's best if you release that person as well to find a way that they can choose themselves and or be with partners that are a better fit for them. So that is the second one. The third thing that I want to share for you to do when you like someone as a love avoidant, this one is I am going to strongly suggest for you to do versus tell you to do, is I want you to trust that you at your most vulnerable, goofy, and imperfect moments, that the person that you're with wants to see that too. Again, love avoidance, for the most part, we are very good at presentation. We are experts at it. we are so good at crafting what we want other people to see, and they don't see anything less and anything more. And we're very good at damage control, and we're very good at messaging and personal marketing. When it comes to intimate relationships, a lot of the reasons that we may start to push people away is because they may see those exposed parts. And those unpolished moments, whether or not it's dancing really funny in your living room, or a weird way that you eat cookie dough, or that things are actually getting to you emotionally, you know, whatever the level of vulnerability and silliness and goofiness or imperfection that you have, your partner has chosen you because they want to get to know all of you. Again, this exists with healthy, available people. Even people that you're like, they're so amazing. If they see this part of me, they are going to run for the hills, and they're not. If anything, they may see it as quirky. They may see it, not quirky, that's not the word. Well, yes, quirky, but like endearing. They may see it as a special privilege that they get to see this part of you that other people don't. That's one of the magic things that happens when you're in a deep, intimate relationship, that you build this best friendship, this kinship, this connection that is so private and just between the two of you. That is what makes it so sweet, and that's what makes it so safe. And you got to let them see those parts of you and not apologize for it, to not feel like you need to give disclaimers before you do it or say, you probably think this or you probably think that. And if that is what's happening for you, by the way, instead of you trying to act like you're not feeling a little bit vulnerable, instead of projecting what you think they think, because it's really about what you think, say, sometimes I feel this about myself. And sometimes I feel like this part of me is really silly. What do you think? And as much as I talk about not caring what my other people think, I think because this is a safe person in a safe space, let me amend that. Instead of you saying, what do you think, you can directly ask, because that question is really a bid for them to tell you that you're good enough, right? To tell you that you're pretty enough, that you're smart enough, that you're funny enough, that they're not going to leave. You can practice telling them what it is that you want for them. So this part of me kind of makes me feel embarrassed and makes me feel as if you might judge me. Can you tell me that this isn't that bad? Right? That kind of stuff. So hopefully that helps. But those are three things for you to do when you are starting off and you really like someone as a love avoidant, to move closer to them, to be open, to spend more time with them, to let them into your day, to not create a whole separate life, because that's what we do as love avoidants. We're very good at compartmentalizing things because we have learned that that is what makes us able to function. And it's possible to involve people in multiple areas of your life. And yes, before you even say it, it is a risk. There is absolutely a risk in this, in that you can get really used to talking to this person all the time. You can really start to like the compliments. You can really start to truly fall in love in a deeper way than you've ever fell in love before. And it can be very, very scary to do this. Not it can be. It is very, very scary to do this. But I also want you to consider the possibility that maybe, especially because you're moving differently and literally you're a different version of yourself, that this relationship does not have to end in flames and fire. That maybe what could also happen is that this becomes something that's super beautiful, that is super loving and enriching, something that makes you better and makes them better. And even if it does end after a while, that you can leave without feeling like this was a waste of time, that this was wrong, that you lost out. That how you'll hear some people say that they really love somebody and they would never take back their time from them if they lost that person due to death or circumstance or otherwise. Maybe that's an experience that you could have. And maybe that's an experience that you can understand, and that will become your new norm. That now when you're a partner with people, you have the most amazing relationships with them, and maybe one or two last long term and others just are there for the season instead of the other ones that bring us to this place of healing in the first place. That is my wish for all of you, that you have those moments and that becomes your new reality and truth. And yeah, so I hope you like this episode. I'm sending you all so much love. As always, take care of yourselves, and I will see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CareCare is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.